The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, near the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp when my eyes were stabbed by the flames.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jerry Kirk. This is the Gathering Offering 2.0. It's May 5th, 2022. Today I'm supposed to have a guest, Rodney Rogers. He hasn't been able to get hooked up yet, but maybe he'll get here. Just appreciate your patience. What I wanted to start off with is for each individual that's listening to put themselves in a position of, I'm going to try and answer this question right now. If something you've known all of your life, your grandparents, your parents, you, maybe your children, and everybody knows that, but then all of a sudden information comes out and it proves that you're incorrect, how do most people handle that? Well, what most people do, in my experience, they ignore it, because if the subject is big enough, it wobbles the stool that they're standing on, and they're only on a three-point stool. They're not even on a four-point stool. And so now this new area, which can be proved, is just so diametrically opposite of the way you've lived your life. Now, if you're a good individual, male or female, this poses a very strong mental problem. How could I be wrong? Well, could you take a look at our recent history of the last 100 years? And see the way that you're fed information, constantly fed certain information. So after decades and decades, you think that information is correct, yet it's wrong. So now comes along this Yehu, maybe that's me. And he says, guess what? You're wrong. I don't hate you. I'm not mad at you. I actually understand this process, I think, quite well, to train and then indoctrinate people. But now you, the individual, male and female, have to take a look at this and say, I'm wrong. I was taught wrong. Now I'm not 14, 15 years old where I can just start learning real easy again. Now I've got 30, 40, 50 years under my belt of being taught wrong and knowing everything is wrong. Wow. That's a dilemma, isn't it? How does somebody find the guts to stand up and say, I was wrong? And this is so important, Billy Bob or Sue Ann, I'm going to share this with you. But, you know, Billy and Sue, you're not going to like me when I share this with you. That's the problem we're facing right now. I've faced it for over 3 decades. And item after item after item, I found out I was taught wrong. I was indoctrinated wrong. To give you an example, they tell everybody there's 365 and a quarter days in a year. I grew up my entire life, 365 and a quarter days in a year. But it didn't make sense. Something was wrong. So when I started studying, I found information that, there's not 365 and a quarter days in a year. But that was information. That wasn't absolute proof. So I learned from something that I found in the Old Testament of how to measure the sun, S-U-N, that big bright hot thing out there, warms us up, we get daylight from it. When I learned to measure that, I didn't just measure it once. I measured it over the course of a year and a half. And without exception, absolutely unequivocally, every 91 days, there happened to be an event that happened. Solstice and equinox. There's four, two of each, every year. And absolutely, every single time, at 91 days, we had a solstice or an equinox. Absolute proof of the length of the year. Now, I had found that in history, but that wasn't the same thing as seeing it. Well, after about 3 or 4 weeks of having this measurement set up, I thought I saw something. And I said, well, that can't be. That's crazy. But you got to get back here tomorrow to see if you can see it. So the next day I got there 30 minutes early, and lo and behold, at exactly what you would call noontime, the shadow of the sun moved backwards for 20 minutes. And then that shadow of the sun for 20 minutes raced back to where it was at exactly noon. Now, when I saw that the second day, I had very strong questions about my mental stability. But I said, you saw a little bit of it the other day, now you saw some today. Let's take and review all your materials and be ready tomorrow. Well, the next day, it happened again. And what did I do? I started accusing myself of having gone crazy. I walked around my house. I walked around my barn. And I was trying to figure out, had I lost my mind? That's how strong this was, to find this out, to see it. Well, I just sat for about 2 days. I didn't do hardly anything except take care of chores, you know, feed the chickens and stuff like that, horses. And then I called a couple of my friends that were studying the book. They came over. They saw it. They walked around the house. And they walked around the barn. And they were muttering to themselves, have I gone crazy? I didn't tell them anything of what happened to me. Nothing. But when you have three or four other good, solid men that have the same exact reaction and absolute proof of what it was, it really affects you. Now, you're now faced with, do I just conceal this information? Because I'm going to get in trouble when I talk about this. And people aren't going to like me. And everybody's going to call me a witch or in every other name there is. Where do I find the guts to go forward? That's the question that can be applicable to many, many subjects that I bring up. And they're not easy. They're actually easy once you can get that through your head that, yeah, this was a planned time frame to make everybody stupid. But certain individuals will come forward and they will learn. And they will face the ridicule of the multitudes. And they will talk about the truth. Now, here's the biggest one, how people get messed up, in my opinion, if I can see correctly. This is from Matthew chapter 5, verse 18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot nor one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Okay, now some people say, well, everything was fulfilled when the only begotten son went ahead and was slaughtered on a cross. Well, excuse me. Have heaven and earth passed? No, there's still a planet here. And for everything I know, there's still a heaven up there. I see stars and planets and all kind of stuff like that. There's still stuff up there. So, all being fulfilled certainly couldn't be that. And then how many hundreds and hundreds of other verses does it talk about what's going to happen after the only begotten Son rises up and goes and sits at the right hand of the Father? That's where he sits. He says it. That's where I go. I go and I sit by the right hand of the Father until another time occurs. Now, all your lives, if you were good, solid people, you believed in a term called God. Well, if you've listened to anything, you should understand that the word God does not apply to the Father in heaven. It says very clearly, call none Father, save he that's in heaven. That says that's what you're to call him. Yet, myself, on a continuing basis, and something will happen, and I drop a hammer on my toe. I go, oh God! And as soon as I do that, I go, I didn't mean you. I'm sorry, Father. I still have that problem, and sometimes in longer conversations with an individual or two, I'll be talking, and I'll slip the word God in there. And then I go, ugh! Did it again. None of us are perfect, but we have to try. And if you don't try, and when you're a few years from now, when you're sitting on the sideline, and you see the nightmare that's happening to you, try to remember this sharing, this offering that I'm trying to give you. There are millions of good men and good women left on this planet. But they're not near as many as you might think on this planet. It is an elite group that's going to stand up and say, guess what? I know for a fact that everybody dies. There's not a single individual that doesn't die. The only begotten son, his physical body, actually died. He went underground for 3 days, did his thing that he had to do. We're not into all that. And he then goes back up to the Father in heaven. But his physical body actually died. So we all get to do it. Wouldn't we at least be able to, on our headstone, entertain the thought that they might put on the headstone, "He tried," as opposed to "He quit"? I don't want that word "quit" used on me. Yes, it's happened to me in various things during the course of my life. Got into a project, couldn't finish it, had to put it off. I quit for a while. Sometimes a month, 3 months later, I get back on that project and I get back on it again. I have not succeeded on every single project. Oh, would I love to have 11 other men and women that all they wanted to do for the entire rest of their life to learn and discover all the nuances, little bitty parts of the Father's law. If that doesn't affect you, that you say, "I don't care what the Father's law is. I don't care what Jerry Kirk says. I don't care what anybody else says," then why don't you go buy a big giant thing of marshmallows and all the candy that you can eat and all the bad stuff that you can eat and just eat for 24 hours and you'll probably have a nice stroke or a heart attack and you won't have to go through all this stuff. Just go ahead and fill yourself up with garbage. And then you won't have to go through this. But the people that have some guts, the people that are continuously driving themselves to get stronger physically and mentally, they know there's a challenge coming. And they want to be prepared as best as they can. One of the things that people don't realize is that simplicity is usually the answer. If it's more simple, as opposed to being more complex. Remember, when the Father made the law, his law, which is plural, laws, he knew that we're dummies. He knew that we're not too dadgum smart. He knew that he had to keep it simple, stupid. The KISS principle. Because we've got a physical body that gets interrupted by all kinds of things, emotions, hunger, sadness, and we could continue for the next year on our failings. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to expand ourselves to get stronger. If you cannot make the, right there, "Not one jot nor one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." And people say, "Oh, well, see, everything's all but fulfilled." Well, if that's the case, how come you're still down here on this ding-dong planet? That actually is not called a planet in scriptures. It's called a sanctuary. It's called a sanctuary because there are certain individuals that are under a sanction that means that they can be redeemed. That's the only reason. Now, all the bad guys, they don't get redeemed. All the bad guys, they all know they're bad guys. They know where they're going. It's just the good guys and the good gals that don't exactly know what they're doing, and you got to get off of that. There's only one way to get off of that. You learn something, and you stand up, and you talk, and you tell it to somebody else. And you may stumble a little bit while you're doing this. That's okay. You'll get better. Got a commercial break. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Consider this. dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Connection.
All right, you're here. I can hear you now.
Oh, great.
Okay. Well, at least you weren't off at the pool hall shooting pool. How's everything going with you today?
Not tonight. Things going great. Rather soggy around here. Plenty of rain. The river's flood stage. All that good stuff.
Yeah, I've had rain here for 6 out of 8 days, although one of the 6 days it was kind of light, but it's been rather amazing. I guess that's why there's an article, a sentence contained in the good book, that this guy, he gets up in the middle of the night to determine the course of the rains for the coming year. So in actuality, because I don't know how to do all that stuff, I can't tell you whether there's going to be rain tomorrow or not. You know, I have to rely on the sorcerers that try and tell me what the weather is.
You don't recall the name of that book you're quoting from, do you?
Not right now. It just popped in my head. I don't have my computer on. I don't have it set up where I can just type in these verses and then it just spits it all out to have all that. Don't have all that.
Yeah. Done. Well, I hope you're wanting to take calls tonight. I don't have a call screen. I didn't get in touch with Mike soon enough to get a link, but we probably don't have any callers yet. But anyhow, I'm kind of glad
I was waiting for you to get on to say, okay, here's the call-in number, 1-512-248-8252. And if you'd like to jump in, ladies and gentlemen, and express some thoughts, you're welcome to. But anyway, I got that out now that you're here.
How about some quick housekeeping, as Tim Spencer calls it? Are you on a speakerphone, Jerry?
That's what I'm on.
Yes or no? Well, I'm on one too, and you sound great. And if Mike tells me I sound bad, I'll be happy to switch it over. But it's much more convenient.
Yes.
So anyhow.
During the break, talking to me, he said I might be able to get a microphone to plug into my phone. I told him if I can find one, I'll do that. But I ain't sticking nothing up against my head. You know, I've done that homework, many decades ago and stayed with the subject. I'm not doing it, So.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to get a feel for how we might be talking over each other. So I'm going to be on my best behavior and try not to butt in. But I'm glad you started off with your subject matter because I thought, well, shoot, if he's going to throw the ball to me, I'll have to have something. Well, I have something. But I'm glad you started off. And I would like to explore this a little more. Now, Jerry, you... You said there's exactly 91 days in a quarter of the year. Well,
yes,
you didn't.
Exactly.
Is a math that simple? That 364 is the actual number of days in a year.
No, because
when
you it is not correct because when you get into studying, you find out that there are not 360 degrees in a circle, except in modern time.
You're getting ahead of me, Jerry. But anyhow, so 4 times 91 makes 364, as opposed
exactly.
to 365 and a quarter.
Exactly. And your measurements must be taken at noontime. Otherwise, if you do it at midnight, you'll be anywhere from 4 to 7 minutes off of the proper split of time.
Yeah. All right. Well, you've mentioned the Book of Enoch at your encouragement, a couple years ago. I got my own copy of Lawrence. And, that chapter on where the angel is dictating to Enoch, this is how you tell time, was absolutely fascinating. And
yes,
I can paraphrase. I got the book in my lap, but I don't have the right glasses with me at the moment. But anyhow, the angel tells Enoch there are exactly And I don't, you know, that's the translation. Exactly. 364 days in a year. Am I correct? You read that. Okay. All right. Well, here's all right. Yeah. Let's just play neutral party, or let's just play investigative journalist here. Is there any? Are you aware of any other reference in any scriptures that says there are exactly this number of days in the year? Therefore, Enoch is contradictory. I can't think of a single instance where a scripture, either biblical or extra-biblical, comes flat out and says there's exactly this many number of days in a year. This is how you determine, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, there is nothing. You're correct. There is nothing that says that. What they did is they took and they overlaid one of the moon calendars. There are two moon calendars. I will not claim competence on them. I know about them, but really difficult to figure them out. And they take a little piece of the moon calendar and they attach it to 364 to come up with the extra day and a quarter. Now, this is actually very simple to go back into history, and you will find that they had 364 days in a year. And they wanted to monkey with when the day starts, so they changed it from noon to midnight. All that transpired in the 1500s. But it didn't even make it over to this country when they started founding this country. It took more years to get it indoctrinated, and where everybody now is taught in public school. Yeah, you're going to learn everything you need to learn in public school. And, you know, it just doesn't work. Now, there's another big reference, though, that you can find in the King James. And it tells you that the only begotten Son died at about the ninth hour. Okay? Now, I've told and said everybody, noontime's when the day starts. That's when Passover was, and he had to pass away at that exact time. Well, when you get into Enoch, you find that there are not 24 hours in a day. There are only 18 hours in a day. So now when you break down your hour, you're not looking at 60 seconds. You're looking at, you know, a different number. And when you try to go and switch everything back to 9 hours and 9 hours, that's when you've got to have paper in front of you. You've got to have all these numbers and the breakdown and stuff like that. Now, the people that have looked at that with me, they'll go, it's absolutely flawless. So, well, I didn't dream it up. I just pointed out to you what it says. And so it really is imperative when you start talking about the number of degrees in a circle. I do remember the time frames when they said the circumference of the Earth around the equator is roughly 27,000 miles, roughly. And around from the North and the South Pole, it's only about 20,000 miles. In other words, there's a big bulge in the planet. Well, if you keep tracking that, you find that they're real close, the scientists are real close to saying that the planet Earth, also known as the sanctuary, is almost perfectly round. But then that's not what they said 60 years ago, 70 years ago. But now, with better measurements, they keep getting it down to this, down to it's almost a perfect circle at this particular time. I suggest it is a perfect circle. I think it has to be to be able to spin correctly. You know, from a physics point of view, it would have to be perfectly round. You know, I can't prove that, but, you know, I'm willing to go out on a limb on that a little bit. But when you then take and you break down your compass to 364 degrees, you then find out, by going to nautical studies, because this is where they changed it, they now added back They would do these calculations, and then they would add something back to get it up to the 360 degrees. And, you know, there's a formula that they use in, you know, sailing. And that calculation was not made before they switched the number of degrees in a circle. It was only after they changed it to 360, they had to do another multiplication division thing to get you where you really are.
All right, here, you know, my turn.
Your turn.
Yeah. Okay, you recall the French Revolution. I'm sure everybody knows they've heard of the French Revolution. Well, among other things, you know, they tried to make a 10-day work week. And they fiddle-farted around. They were just trying to, you know, de-Catholicize everything. Did you know also that they changed the number of degrees in a circle to 400? So briefly, in France, 400. Now, where did I learn that? I learned that by watching a documentary titled The Origin of Precision. Very, very fascinating. It's only about 20 minutes long. The Origin of Precision. And just as a side note, they were talking about the early, you know, mechanical engineers' attempts at uniformity and measurements and that sort of thing. They brought up that the French were involved, and they just happened to mention that the French had changed at 400. So there's nothing sacred about a 360-degree circle. Well, the French certainly didn't think so.
Yeah. And so, that's where the individuals that are hearing material like this for the first time, how could it be wrong?
Yeah.
How could it be wrong?
Right. Here, I'm a classic case. Jerry, we've talked about this before. But you also know I'm a carpenter. You know, besides my hammer and a tape measure and a pencil, what do you think my next tool is in my box? It's a square.
Yeah.
Well, Jerry, you know, as a lifelong carpenter, you know, a 90-degree angle is sacred. I mean, it's never been anything but. But, I thought about it for a while, and I thought to myself, you know what? I don't care if it's called 90 or 91. It's still going to be a right angle. And it's just like, you know, when I mentioned to people about, you know, who are obviously believers and are looking forward to the Christ return and rule, and I would, you know, I like to ask him. I said, well, if he came back today, what do you think he would call this day? What would you call this day? Hey, the Lord came back on this day. Would you call it Thursday? Would you say, hey, Lord, glad to see you on this Thursday? Are you? I mean, that's so. Is the, you know, so here's that's my connection, my affinity, you know, to a lifelong understanding that a right angle is always 90 degrees. Can't be anything else. It's not true. You know, so I, you know, if they came, you know, if Black & Decker came out with a whole new line of tools and everything was 91 instead of 90 and 45 and a half instead of 45 and so on and so forth, well, yeah, it would be a pain in the butt. It'd be like learning a new language. But my
point is, from a square point of view, you're talking about angles. When you lay out a six-pointed star or a seven-pointed star or a five-pointed star on a 360-degree circle, and then you do the same thing on a 364-degree circle, something happens. And what happens on the seven-pointed star, and now when I say this, you connect every point that you can. You make your star, but that also gives you outside measurements that are at angles. Every single angle that's created is a whole integer. That doesn't happen when you use a 360-degree circle. And, you know, I had a guy that had access to a very, very large computer. Actually did work for one of the major oil finders and refiners in this country. And I sent it to him, and he ran this And he called me back. He said, I ran this two or three times. He says, Jerry, it's got to be impossible, but it's true. He said, every angle turned out to be a whole integer. And it's covered up with a whole bunch of prime numbers. Like 91 is a combination of prime numbers, okay? And so when that computer guy saw that, he said, this changes everything. He said, you know, remember, they have to know how to drill at certain angles and go this way and then go the other way. And, they're having all these tremendous 0.0532421 as opposed to using it as a whole integer. And the guy said, this would revolutionize oil exploration. He said, because we're making a guess all the time. And when you're guessing at 7,000 feet below the surface, that's kind of a, tricky thing. You know what I mean? That's 7,000 feet of times that little percentage that they're off. And, you know, what happened to that man? Well, he tried to bring it up three or four times, and he was the head computer guy for their entire operation. And do you know, within a year and a half, they fired him? They said, we can't have people talking about this. They would not say he's wrong, but they just wouldn't allow it. And, it's a shame, and that man lost his job because he went forward showing the truth of a seven-pointed star. And the scriptures give you the six-pointed star of David. Well, excuse me, that wasn't the six-pointed star created by David. It was created by Solomon, his Canaanite son. And he switched over all those things way back then to a six-pointed star. And by the way, Solomon moved the city of David, which was approximately 40 miles to the north and about 7-8 miles to the west of where Jerusalem is now. Solomon abandoned the city of David and went over to the Canaanites and rebuilt Jerusalem and started that out. He went, what do you mean? You're sitting there, you're attacking Solomon. He's in the Bible. Yes, I'm totally attacking him. What was his mother's name? What was her status? Oh, she was the high princess of the Pharisee Sadducee chief priest. Oh, and she was the granddaughter of this Pharisee Sadducee chief priest. Total Canaanite. And that, through David not paying attention and just going out there and fornicating with everybody he could that was good looking. That's why it says, and he ran naked in the streets. He winds up doing Bathsheba, and here we go, Solomon.
Yeah, can we get back to the seven-pointed star?
Sure.
Okay. And James from Vancouver, you've got to be at least a little bit of a mathematician. I'd hope you'd call in and weigh on this subject matter. But back to... just so everybody's caught up, if you take a circle, divide it into 364 degrees, put a perfect seven-pointed star inside of that, the points are separated by 52, a whole number. And, yeah, every conceivable angle compared to any other angle inside that seven-pointed star, every single answer is a whole number. Not just 364 divided by 7. It's every single conceivable. You compare this angle of this part of this point of this star, and you compare it with the angle of that other one over there, and it's going to come up. Well, anyhow, first time you brought this to my attention, kind of back when you had your former show, you brought this up. I grabbed a calculator, and I tried to do, I said, okay, well, 364, and by the way, to associate what we're talking about with the Book of Enoch, I will admit it's anecdotal at best. Unless the Father in Heaven wants to stamp his seal of approval on it, you know, which I haven't exactly seen yet. But it's anecdotal, and I find it fascinating. And I see it as a fingerprint of the Creator himself. So anyhow, I grabbed the calculator, and I thought, well, you've got this. You got two different answers. You know, what is the distance between the points of a 360-degree seven-point star and 364? Well, surely enough. Okay, well, I thought, well, boy, maybe there's something magic about reconciling one number with the other. So I got to playing around, and Jerry, it can't be done. The ratio is an infinite number, just like pi. You cannot get an answer. Now, your gentleman friend with the million-dollar computer, you know, it'd be interesting for him to crunch this. But I also saw that as a fingerprint of the Creator. Is no, my I am perfect, says the Creator. You can't reconcile your fabrication, your falsehoods, your deceptions cannot be reconciled with my perfection. That's why it's an infinite number. Now, not trying to say infinite numbers are evil or bad, but I just saw that as another, well, of course, another anecdotal facet to this whole conversation.
Yeah, well, I mean, it gets more and more complicated, his calendar. There's so many different things that you can find on the calendar that are happening right now. It blows them away. I will give you an example. In 1997, I cracked something, and I was communicating with people, and I was still down in Florida, hadn't quite left, and I had been touching on this a little bit, and everybody just absolutely did not want to believe that there would be two tall buildings, one higher than the other, that would fall down on September 11th. I kept telling, and numerous people, this is going to happen. Well, what's the media and everybody saying? Oh, well, the computers, nobody ever figured on the computers switching over to the next century, so all the computers are going to go wacky in 2000. Well, that didn't happen. Mike just said we have a caller, didn't catch the name, so come right on.
Yeah, we have a caller. It's Glenn in Philly. Let's
yeah, Glenn, are you there, sir?
Good evening, Jerry, and I don't know your co-host name. Sorry, but good evening, Rod. Gentlemen.
Good evening.
Hello. You just touched on something.
Glenn, it's Rodney.
Oh, Rodney, hello, hi.
Rodney and Jerry.
You just touched on something that I always think of as a great testimony to the grace and mercy of God. When you talked about, when you mentioned Bathsheba and Solomon, and certainly that's standard fare to point out, Solomon's compromises with the Baal worship and the pagan religions and that sort of thing. That's common. But even Jesus, God didn't write him off. He still continued to use him to, propagate the bloodline. Jesus himself references Solomon when he says that even Solomon has always, in all his glory, was not arrayed like unto one of these. It's not a moral endorsement, but it's an acknowledgement of his person. And in terms of David and Bathsheba, when the baby, it's interesting, the baby that was conceived in David's adultery with Bathsheba when he had Uriah the Hittite sent to the front to be killed, and Uriah the Hittite wouldn't have sex with Bathsheba when he came home on leave, and this kind of betrayed that something else was going on. But that, unfortunately, that baby died. We saw David fasting and waiting and seeking God's mercy, and wanting to see the baby survive. But that particular baby did die, and then David washed and dressed himself and began to eat again because he knew. And what David said was that of the baby, he said, I cannot go, he cannot come to me, but I shall go to him. You know, foreshadowing that when he died, you know, that baby was in God's presence, and that he too would go to be on in God's presence. And he, of course, married Bathsheba, and then, you know, and then she had Solomon, who did not die. And so here we see Bathsheba, and, you know, David in the line of Christ. And, you know, it was similar to where we see Rahab the harlot.
Excuse me, I take exception to that. I take no line exception of Christ to that.
What's that?
I take exception to that totally thing.
To what?
There's no connection to Solomon and the only begotten son. There is no connection. Zero.
From Bathsheba? Bathsheba was Solomon's mother.
No. There is no relationship between Solomon and the only begotten son. There is no relationship at all. None. Zero.
Okay, right. Wait a minute.
Glenn, okay. If you can wrap this up. We have another caller, and we are about 6 minutes away from the top of the hour break.
Okay. Perhaps I'll need to stand corrected on that, but I was under. But what's always been so astonishing to me is that it demonstrates the fact that David, who committed murder and adultery, and yet he was his heart, you know, was a man of God's own heart, and that God was able to use him, and that he still could go on. David could still go on to become a pillar in the temple, and perhaps he may end up being an official in the Kingdom of Christ in the millennium and that sort of thing. So, I will definitely try and do due diligence on that. But it was interesting, in spite of the fact that they had the adultery, the baby died, God was still so redemptive and so loving and so forgiving that we see him. To me, it's just David's just an amazing character. And Solomon's sort of a tragic character, and then we see this tragedy of Solomon, you know, with through his sons Jeroboam and Rehoboam, the dividing of the kingdom. You know, what a mess that is. And yet God is able to work through all these things, and you know, still bring Christ to humanity, and you know, have him complete his mission, saves us, and to this day. You know, we are saved by grace through faith, and we have this mandate from God to occupy until he comes.
I take exception to that. We are not saved by grace alone. That's Paul's stuff. Anyway, we have got another caller. I didn't catch his name. Mike, the other individual holding?
We have James in Vancouver, and then after, at the same time, we have Dr. Kelly, so maybe we may put them both on at the same time. Here's James.
How are you doing, James?
I heard someone calling my name. I'm looking at that 7-point star right now, and it's getting me cross-eyed a bit here. It looks to me like it could be a projection of a 3D. Image, and you've got 7 stars. I've never heard about it before until now.
We blew it up into a 3D dimensional thing, and it was extremely complicated when you did that. Now I know that there's knowledge in there, but it was above one individual's head. You sometimes you need 2 or 3 people thinking at the same time.
Right. It says here that it has been used in Christianity to symbolize the 7 days of creation. Is that correct, what they say, or is that just... it says the symbol is used in some Christian branches, such as Catholicism and Orthodox Christianity, The symbol is also used in Kabbalist Judaism. So I don't know. I just thought I'd put that out there. I don't know the accuracy of that. Would you know, or would you have a comment on that? Or
well, I think that if you go to freedom-school.com and you go where it says Jerry Kirk, you're going to find a long list of items. And I believe that you'll find seven-pointed star laid out, you know, just two-dimensionally, to begin starting study on that and looking at all the whole numbers. And then just start thinking about thousand miles of distance and how far off you would be if you don't have whole numbers into your traveling arrangements. How you travel, where you go. You know,
well, usually I get on a jet.
Yeah, well, one degree off if you're riding.
Yeah.
If you're riding on a jet, on a horse.
Well, I get on a jet and go to Hong Kong, or at least I used to do that a lot, but not as much as before. But there are, you know, I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church, and they have a history of bringing every kind of idea into the fold in order to convert the people that they come in contact with. I think they call it pluralism.
I would prefer to call it that they throw a lot of manure on the wall and hope everything that sticks will mess your head up.
I get that. I grew up. I'm a hybrid of cultures, and I grew up with the my mother's family are from the United States. I grew up with that culture, but I grew up with a European culture as well. So. People have all kinds of ideas, yes, seven-pointed star.
Well, I try to refine my life to what degree I can do as to his way, not my way, not any other man's way, if that man's way is different than the Father's. That is my superior. That is my everything. And, you know, my loyalty is to him first, and I, you know, that's the way it is. I will not sell out my respect and honor to the Father to make somebody else happy down here so they won't persecute me. I know that's going to happen to all the good guys, good gals. We're going to get immense persecution in the next couple years. And if you're not prepared to stand with the Father and his Son, you're going to have a rough trip. Anyway, we've got to the top of our break coming up right now, James.
Okay.
You got anything else you want to say quickly? I'm not trying to push you, but, you know, they got that break coming.
No, hang on, James. I want to talk to you.
Okay, right. Well, we'll talk to you again. Thanks again. Bye now.
Hey. Oh, all right. Rodney, he didn't hear you. I'm sorry. Anyway, are we still on the air? I'm not sure what happened just then.
I hear bumper music.
Yeah, it's time for a break. Let's go.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.